Okay, today's daf is Ksubas daf Ayin Zayin. We are holding on daf Ayin Zayin Amar Aleph at the Mishnah on the top of Ayin Zayin Amar Aleph. It's the last daf of the seventh and probably most challenging parak of Maseches Ksubas, but it's probably the least challenging daf in the most challenging parak of Maseches Ksubas. A lot of Agadita today. I want to dedicate the shir Le'iloi Nishmas Harav Aaron Lichtenstein Zichrono Levracha, who was just nifter last night. The Neshama should have an aliyah through the zechus of our learning and the learning of his many thousands of Talmidim throughout the world. So today's daf is going to discuss whether when we force a man to be motzi his wife, whether it's because the man has a mum, or the man has some sort of reyach issue, he has some sort of smell issue, or even the Gemara is going to talk about if nasi isha v'shayim asar hashanim, they stay married for 10 years and nothing happens, they don't have children, whether we force him to divorce her in that case. The Gemara is also a famous daf because on Amud Beis the Gemara describes how to do brain surgery, that if a person has a certain type of shchin that's caused by a bug that's on their brain, how to open up the head and extract the bug and do the proper brain surgery. And then in the end of the daf, we're going to give a couple of stories of great tzaddikim and how the Malach HaMaves took them, which I guess is the saddest daf yomi coincidence, and how they dealt with the Malach HaMaves. So let us begin with the Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amar Aleph. If a man develops mumin, we don't force him to divorce his wife. That's only if they're small mumin. But very large blemishes, then when he develops them, we do force him to divorce his wife. So Yehuda Tani Noldu, Chiyabarav Tani Hayu. It's a discussion what the proper girsa in our Mishnah is. Is it that he developed mumin, noldu, that he developed them after being married, or is it that he always had these mumin? So mandiyam noldu, the one that says that he developed these mumin and still we don't force him to divorce his wife, well, kalshkein hayu dukasavar b'kibla, certainly if he had these mumin all along, where she knew about them, and she obviously was willing to overlook them and marry him anyway, so certainly we're not going to force him to divorce his wife. In that case, mandiyam hayu, the one that says, though, that our Mishnah says that if he previously had these mumin, we don't force him to divorce his wife. Avol no dulo would say that if he first develops these mumin after being married, then the halacha would not apply, and we would force him at lotanan. We would force him to divorce his wife. The halacha would not apply. We would force him to divorce his wife. Tanan, Amr Rav Shimon Gamliel, Bamed Var Mamurim Bimumin Ketanim, Avol Bimumin Gedolim Kofnos Lotzi. Our Mishnah said that Rav Shimon Gamliel commented that this is only by Mumin Ketanim, but if it were Mumin Gedolim, we would force him to divorce his wife. Well, Bishlam Lamandi Amr Noldu, Hainu Deshaini Ben Gedolim Ketanim. If it's something new that just came up after they were married, it's a new Mum that he just developed, so then I understand why there would be a difference between a Mum Gadol and a Mum Katan, that a Mum Gadol is something that's maybe intolerable for her, but a Mum Katan is something that she's willing to tolerate. El Mandi Amr Hayu, but if in any event we're talking about a mum that she was aware of and that he always had beforehand, and she married him knowing that he had this mum, then mali gadolim, mali katanim, hasavar v'kibla. What difference does it make if it's a mum gadol or if it's a mum katan? She knew about it and she was willing to accept it. And so Gemara kasvuri hi sheyicholu l'kabel v'achshavein yicholu l'kabel. It could be that she thought she would be able to tolerate it, but it turns out that she's unable to tolerate it. So Tosus points out svuri hi sheyicholu Kabel, kol isha, well, this is actually not on this line. So, but the first Tosaf on the page, Av Mumin Gedolim Kofnos Lahotzi, Tosaf points out that we never find the Lashon when it comes to a man having to divorce his wife because of problems with the man of Nistachva Sadehu or Sadeha. We find when there's a problem with the woman and the man is stuck, we say it's his tough luck, he's got to pay her ksuba Nistachva Sadehu. So Tosaf just points out, Kabei Ishla Kalmemer Din Nistachva Sadeh Shal Isha. The ish eno sada shel ishto, because the mashal is not a proper mashal, because the man is not considered to be the sada shel ishto. The woman is not kona the man, because breaches breish mechilton. Whereas the way the ma'isa kiddushin works, it's the ma'isa kinyan that a man does on a woman. So it is it's appropriate to use the term nistachva sadehu. Ve'elu hein mumin gedolim. So says the Gemara, what are considered mumin gedolim? Pirush Rishon Gamliel kigon nismis eno. If his eye is blinded, or nikta ayado, his hand is cut off, and nish nishpara raglo, his legs are broken. Itmar Rabbi Abar Yaakov Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The Halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who said that we only don't force him to divorce his wife if it was smaller mumin, but for larger mumin we would force him to divorce his wife if she wants to. Rava Amar Rav Nachman Halacha K'divrei Chachamim. Rava says no, we don't pass on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We pass on like the Chachamim that regardless of the size of the mumin, apparently we don't force him to divorce his wife. Frakti Gemara Miyomer Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that the Halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? V'Amar Rav Abrachanam Rabbi Yochanan V'Kamakam Shashan Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Mishaseinu Halacha K'mosu Chutz Me'er Veraya Achrona, that we always paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel, except for three cases. So says Mar Amorayin inu valibid Rabbi Yochanan, that it's machlokas Amorayim what Rabbi Yochanan really said. So that's why we have a stira in the Pesach. Now we had said that in giving examples of what is a mum gadol, we gave examples nismis eno, nikta yado, an eye is knocked out, an arm is cut off. So in Shulchan Aruch and Ibn Ezra, Simon Kuf Nun Dalid, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if a man develops a mum after he gets married, ein kof nos lahotzi, like the Gemara says, and the Rama adds that Yeshomim calls up yado o baragla o beino achas, that even if it's a mum gadol, where ein kof nos lahotzi, that's only if it's one eye, one leg, one arm. But if it's beiz yadav, beiz einav, beiz raglav, if it's both eyes, both hands, both legs, then then we would force him to divorce her. That's the Shita Sarama. The question that the post can deal with is, what if she did it to him? What if she blinded his eyes? Can she then say, I can't take this, you're blind, now I want a divorce, and I want my ksuba? So would she be able to come with a taina of Ma Isalai? Would we still be Kofanos Alahotzi? Or do we say, no, she's the one that did it, so we're not going to be Kofanos Alahotzi? So some of the Achronim are poshet the Safek based on a Rambam in Ilchus Mamrim. The Rambam in the 7th Perek of Ilchus Mamrim paskins that a Ben Sorer Umora is like any other Haruge Bezdin, where the Mamon, whatever money he owned, whatever properties he owned, go to the Yorshim, which is his father. So but his parents are the ones that were goring the skila. He doesn't get the skila unless his parents say b'neinu zeh, that they point the finger at him and they identify him as Ben Sorer Umora. They testify against him as Ben Sorer Umora. So how could it be they're the ones that caused him to die in the first place, and they're going to go and get the Yerusha? So they say maybe this is like a similar idea, that even though the woman caused the husband to go blind, maybe she could still benefit from that interaction. Now the Radvaz on that Rambam says that what's the chiddush? Of course, you always have the all Haruge Basin, you have Yerusha for the relatives. So he says no, Salkadai de Chamina, that since the father is the only Yoresh, we have to be choshesh that maybe in of Nasan b'mamono, the father was desperate for money and he knew that the child had a trust fund and he knew that the child had certain money, so the Rabbanan should be misakin that the father should not be Yoresh because of the Yisim Nikiyim. So that's the Kamash Malan, that we're not choshesh for such a thing, and therefore the father can be Yoresh. So that's what they want to say, that maybe over here as well, even though the woman caused him to go blind, still it's not it doesn't change the din that the woman is able to be towing in a case where it's a terrible mum like this, that ma'as alai, that she can't handle something like that, and whatever punishment she gets, so that punishment is her punishment. But in terms of being able to tie a ma'as alai, maybe she still has the ability to tie a ma'as alai. You could argue that they're it's not exactly comparable, but that's the connection that some of the Achronim make. Okay, right in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, new Mishnah, Ve'elu shekofnos alahotzi. The following are situations where we force a man to divorce his wife. Mukas shchin, if the man has is afflicted with shchin, with boils, ubal pulifus, and by the way, this is there's a discussion in Chuvasvarim, or if a man has tsara'as, what they call tsara'as, do we, not the spiritual form of the disease, but the physical form of the disease. So a man has tsara'as, or we kofnos, and it's based on all the, whether it's the same as a mukashchin. So that's a good dafyomi coincidence. Parshas Tazria Mitzora, it's all about Saras this week. So mukashchin, if a person has afflicted with boils, ubal pulifus, the Gemara will explain what that is, sarif nechoshes, people who are in very smelly professions, who deal with animal excrement or who work with copper, vaborsi and a tanner, bein shayu achlanisu, bein mishinisu noldu. And this is true whether they had these things before they were married, they had these professions before they were married, or they just got these jobs when they got after they got married. Val kula namra meir af bisha hisni ma yecholi yishatom rsvura yisi shani yecholi lekabel va'akshavein yecholi lekabel. In all these cases, Rav Meir says that even though they understood it, they made it tonight at the beginning that this was going to be the what he does, she could say, yeah, I thought I'd be able to tolerate it, but now it turns out I'm not able to. I thought I would be able to handle it, but I just can't handle it. So that's what Tosfos points out. What do you mean she's able to say that? Then any woman who wants to get a divorce can have a simple harama to say that she'll be able to get a ksuba, to say, oh, I thought I was able to be mekabel. Kol yishtarim v'tisenu. Any woman, when she needs some money, will just marry a guy like this, marry a tanner, marry someone who has a hard time finding a shidduch because he always smells, and then demand a divorce the next day with a full ksuba. So it will be an easy way to make quick money. So says Tosfos, v'shem b'makom sheish chashash harama in l'ksuba. Maybe when there's a chashash harama like that, you see that she's asking for a divorce the next day, and it seems something seems fishy, so maybe then we're not going to give her a ksuba in that situation. Maybe the Rabbanim will have to step in and decide not to give her a ksuba in that kind of situation. The Chum say she has to be mekabelis al karcha for the rest of her life. She can't demand a divorce with a ksuba unless it's a mukashchin, because by being intimate, his skin literally peels off, his flesh, not just skin, his flesh peels off, and that's something that's too much to handle. There's a story in Sidon where a certain borsi, a certain tanner, died, and he had a brother who was of the same profession. She has the ability to say, I was able to put up with it for your brother, but for you, I'm not interested in doing yibum. Your brother I loved, so I was willing to put up with it, but you, I'm not willing to put up with it. It's a new relationship, a new person. She has the ability to say that she's not interested. There is a machlokes in the Mishnah. We say, elu kofnos alahotzi, if the Mishnah means yotzi v'yitin ksuba, or yotzi below ksuba, meaning we force him to divorce. Does that mean he also is out the money, that he has to pay the ksuba? The re in Tosos and Dibra Maschil Kofin holds that even though he's Megarsha Bal Karcho, but he still has to give the ksuba, and that's the shita of the Rush as well. The Ritva quotes from the re that he proves from the Gemara. The Gemara says, why doesn't it say in the Mishnah? The Gemara is going to say later on, why doesn't it say in the Mishnah? Another example where we're Kofin Asalahotzi is if they've been married for 10 years and they don't have any children, they Yotzi Vitin Ksuba. Now, if our Mishnah is talking about where he doesn't have to pay the ksuba, then the Gemara Shaila is not really a Shaila, because in the case of being married for 10 years and not having children, you do have to pay the ksuba. So you see that in our Mishnah, when it says kofin, it means that you do pay the ksuba, and that's why being married for 10 years, the Gemara thinks, should have belonged on the list in the Mishnah. It's a great raya for the sheet of the Ri. Rabbeinu Gershom, however, holds that the kfiya in our Mishnah is without a ksuba, and his raya is from Remeir, who says that even though she was mekabelis ala, she could say, svuri yisi shani yichol lekabel, va'akshav eini yichola, and we force him to divorce her. And it can't be that you're going to give a ksuba in that case, because then she could always be married, meaning Rabbeinu Gershom is bothered by Tosfos Kasha. A woman could always have a harama, she's going to get married for a day, divorce the guy, and collect an entire ksuba payment. So Rabbeinu Gershom says, so it can't be that she's going to get a ksuba. So it must be that Kofanos Alahotzi is without a ksuba. So the Ritva is Docha, Rabbeinu Gershom's Ryan says, no, it means with a ksuba. And anytime that you see, he says, Tosfos' answer, he says, anytime that you see that there's a harama, so we're going to make sure that she doesn't get a ksuba in that case. So that's the machlokas rishonim, the fundamental machlokas rishonim in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, my bal pulifus, what is this mum called bal pulifus that we force to divorce? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, reyach hachotem, it's a very terrible smell of the nose. V'masnisatana reyach hapeh, that is bad breath. Rav Asi masni ibcha, Rav Asi taught it the opposite. Umanach basimana, Shmuel lo pasak pumei mikulei pirkin. The way to remember what Shmuel says, that that Shmuel, the one about the mouth, is that Shmuel opasuk pumei mikol pirkin. Shmuel didn't stop, his mouth didn't stop from this entire parak. As we are about to conclude the parak, we mentioned that Shmuel was very conversant in this parak. He would always talk about this parak. Rashi says it was a simon that it was always shagur parak zebepiv. Shmuel was always talking about this parak. I don't know why. There must be something to that. That Shmuel was always dafka talking about parak hamadir. That this was some. This was a parak that was particularly beloved to Shmuel. But Tosa Rush quotes from Benu Meir, very interesting. He says that in this entire parak, Shmuel speaks kimat on every single mishnah in the parak. In the first mishnah, he's cholik and rav by stamu mufarish, and by you find nine alpha and beis amruv derma Shmuel yud beis chodesh kama kitzvas yud beis chodesh. In the next mishnah nine alpha and beis amruv Shmuel mishum bnei adam pritzim amruv Shmuel dvar mishal kolon, and he just comes up every single. But I would bet you could do that in most program in Shas. Shmuel isn't so rare in Shas, but that's what the Tosa Rush suggests. And we literally find him having what to say about every single Mishnah in the entire parak. Va'mekametz, and mekametz is another example of a person who we're going to force him to divorce his wife. My mekametz, what is a mekametz? I'm reviewing the zemekametz soas klavim. It's a person who gathers together the dog excrement. Meisve mekametz zebursi. Aye, but didn't we say mekametz is a tanner? So ultameich tikshilach masista mekametz v'mitzarif v'nechoshes. The Mishnah lists the Mekametz and a Borsi as separate people on the list. So Bishlam Masnis Lo Kasha Kam Borsi Gadol Kam Borsi Katan. No, the Mishnah's not a Kasha because one might be talking about a Borsi Gadol, the other might be talking about a Borsi Katan, whether he works in a large tannery or a small tannery. El Rav Yehuda Kasha. But according to Rav Yehuda, it's difficult that if a Mekametz is someone who's Mekametz Tsoas Klavim, why does the Mishnah list that twice? So Tanai, Titania Mekametz a Borsi, that some say it's a borsi, and some say it's someone who's mekametz tzoas klavim, it's someone who gathers together the excrement of dogs. Now, why would there be a difference between a borsi gadol and a borsi katan? He smells. What difference does it make if he works in a big place or he works in a small place? So the Ritva says that a borsi gadol he's not his own boss, probably. And a borsi katan, he's the one that's achray for everything, and therefore the one who works in that type of borsi, the problem is the one who works in a small borsi is ma'us from doing all the work, but a gadol has achrayus on the poelim, and that's maybe he's not so disgusting because he's more of a supervisor. So maybe he doesn't have to get his hands dirty as much, and he doesn't have to be as involved in it. So there's a greater chiddush in saying that we would be kofel lahotzi by a borsi gadol than by a borsi katan because maybe he doesn't smell as much. Shittum Gvetzah says the opposite, that by a borsi gadol he probably makes a better living, meaning he owns a larger borsi, so maybe she's willing to overlook the smell because he brings home a fatter paycheck. But a borsi katan, he brings home a smaller paycheck, so not only does he smell, but he makes very little money. Okay, but there's some chiddush from one over the other, whichever way you want to say it. So we said someone who's a coppersmith or someone who deals with copper, we'll see what that means, and a borsi. What kind of job with copper does this person have? That he's a coppersmith. He makes copper pots. He deals with copper to make things. Now he's a miner. He's a copper miner. And we have a brisa that supports Rabbi Bar Chana that refers to someone who mines copper. If a person says, I will not support my wife in any way, so then we're yotzi v'yitin ksuba. He has to divorce her and pay her ksuba. Rabbi Lazar said this in front of Shmuel. Amar achsua sa'ari le'elazar ad shekofnos alahotzi yachvu lazen. He says, let animal food, let barley be fed to Elazar for saying such a thing. I mean, instead of forcing him to divorce his wife, how about we force him to support his wife? So instead of them having a divorce, let him just support. And Rav says, no, a person can't live like that. We don't force a woman to live with such a husband who has to be forced to provide her with support. When Rabbi Zera went to Eretz Yisrael, he found that Rabbi Binyamin Bar Yafes was sitting and saying this name, Rabbi Yochanan. This is what they wanted to feed barley to Rabbi Lazar for in Bavel, for saying over this teaching. Amr vidam ravasi ein maasin elul psulos ki amrisa kamed shmol amr kagon al molo kohen gadol grusha b'chalutz l'kohen hediot mamzer sinin lisol bas yisol l'nasin l'mamzer. We only force when it comes to psulos. We only force a divorce. We only kofa l'hotzi if the marriage is a pasul marriage. What's an example of a pasul marriage? All these chayav elavin an almana married to a kohen gadol grusha b'chalutz married to a kohen hediot mamzer sinin married to yisol bas yisol to nasin l'mamzer. Aval nasi isha v'shoyim ha'eser shanim v'lo yalda ein kofnel so. But if a man was married to a woman for 10 years and they never had children, we do not force him to divorce her. Rav Tachlifa bar Ravimi Amar Shmuel afilu nasi isha v'shoyim ha'eser shanim v'lo yalda kofnel so. They know that even if they were married for 10 years and they don't have any children, even that is enough reason to force them to get divorced. So this is a sugya in Yevamos Daf Samach Daled. The Mishnah says Nasi Ishav Shayim Asher Shon V'Leyolda that he ain't a Rashi Levatel, that he's not allowed to be Mevatel from Pru Revu. And the Gemara over there says that even though there's no Raya Ledavar, the Gemara in Yevamos says Zeich Ledavar. It says by Avram Avinu when he married Hagar Vatika Chsarai Eishas Avram is Hagar Amitzris Shivchasa Miketz Eser Shonim L'Sheves Avram Be'aretz Kanan, that it was after 10 years of Avram living in Eretz Kanan, not having any children. Vatita Nosala Avram Ish Lo Leisha, and Hagar was given to Avram as a wife. So you see that it was only after 10 years of not having children and being married in Eretz Canaan that Sarai gave Hagar to Avram at the time. So since this pasuk was 10 years from the time he lived in Eretz Canaan, not 10 years from the time they originally got married. So the Gemara says, you see that in Yeshivas Chutzla or Tzolim in Aminian, that this halach, although the Gemara just quotes it stam over here, that after 10 years but we see that time spent in Chutz Laretz is not all the minaminion. It's also, I guess, a Daf Yomi coincidence, the week of Hei Iyar, that it's the Daf Kedus Chutz Laretz Shol. So Rashi explains that the years of Chutz Laretz don't count because it could be that the Avon of Chutz Laretz is Gorim, the fact that they don't have any children. The Avera of living in Chutz Laretz, the lack of the Zechus of Yishav Eretz Shol, causes them not to have children. That's why a whole group of Rishonim, there's Ruah and many of the Chachmei Ashkenaz all say that someone who marries a woman chutzlaretz and they spend 10 years without any children ain't kofnos al vahotzi. This dafka din in Eretz Yisrael. However, the Chachmei Tzarfas, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, they all say that this din of yeshivas chutzlaretz ain't al minyan is only by Avram Avinu, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu dafka told Avram Avinu lech lecha me'artzicha. So for he specifically, he had a special place in Eretz Yisrael where it's only there that it's ve'eschal gai gadol. Hashem specifically told him, that's where you're going to have children. So that was only that's why the Chutz Laretz years didn't count. But for normal people who have a mitzvah of Puravu and are expected to have children and expected to experience bracha in their family lives, even in Chutz Laretz, the 10 years would apply even in Chutz Laretz, not only in Eretz Yisrael. Tanan, Elu Shekofenos Salahotzi. The following people were Kofenos Salahotzi. Mukashchinu, Bal Polifos. Well, Bishlam Ravasi, Drabban, I mean, that was our Mishnah. So Bishlam Ravasi, Drabban Katani, Darai Salo Katani. I understand, according to Ravasi, we only mention those things that are Drabban, we don't mention those things that are Daraisa. I mean, we didn't mention the Alman Kohen Gadol and all those other things where they are actually Surim Daraisa in their marriage. El Rav Tachliva Baravimi, listening Nasi Shav Shayim Asr Shanim, Voyolda Kofenoso. But according to Rav Tachliva Baravimi, why isn't this on why don't we put on the list about the 10 years of being married and not having children? Where midaraisa, you don't have to divorce her, because midaraisa you could just take another wife, you could just marry a second woman. But midrabanan, we say that he's probably not going to be motivated to marry somebody else. That's a din drabanan. He's probably not going to be motivated to marry somebody else if he still has his first wife. So in order to provide him with motivation to get married, to want to marry somebody else, we're kofnos salahotzi. Why isn't it in the Mishnah? Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha. Habimili habishoti. There are different types of kfiyah. Sometimes we force with sticks by beating him up, and sometimes we just verbally try to encourage him. So when it comes to period verivya, it's bimili miyasrinan, Rashi says. It's verbally, but not with physical force. But by things mentioned in the Mishnah, we would even physically force him to divorce her. Maskevla Rabbi Abba, Vidvarim lo yivaser eved. But it says that the dvarim is not enough to provide yisurim to force someone. Elam Rabbi Abba habaha vishoti. They're both talking about when providing physical force. Hasam ki amra havina bahadei shafkinim la. Over here, when she says it's okay, I'm leave him alone. I'm willing to put up with it. We'd leave it. Hacha afal gav damra havina bahadei lo shafkinim la. But in the case where they don't have children, even if she says it's okay, I'm fine staying married, no, we wouldn't allow it to happen because he has a mitzvah of puravu. So that's what makes this case different than the cases in our Mishnah. The case of being married 10 years without children is different than the case in our Mishnah. These cases in the Mishnah, she's able to say, it's okay, don't force him, I'm willing to put up with it. But when his mitzvah of puravu is not being fulfilled, she doesn't have the right to be mochel that. Don't tell me that our Mishnah doesn't give any cases where she doesn't have the right to be mochel. What about the case of Mukashchin? We said explicitly in the Mishnah that since his flesh is peeling off, we do not give her the right to be mochel, and we say that we're going to force him to be motzi. So hasam kiyamra deyarna bade v'sahadi shafkinela. No, because in that case, even in the case of Mukashchin, if she's willing to say, I'm willing to live with him with witnesses to make sure that we're never intimate, so we're never going to have yichud together, I just want to be there to take care of him because I want to be good to him, so then we'd allow that. We'd allow that to stay, and we'd allow them to stay married. But that same trick doesn't work when he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of puravu. We can't leave them alone we can't leave them married with each other if he's never going to get the mitzvah of puravu, no matter what she says. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Sach li zaken echad ma'anshi Yerushalayim. One of these Akenim of the Anshi Yerushalayim told me, Esrim Arba Mukeshchin Hein. There are 24 different types of Mukeshchin. V'kulan Amar Chacham Tashmish Kashalahen. And for all of them, the Chacham say that Tashmish Hamita is very difficult for the Mukeshchin. Ubale Rasan Kashamikulan. The worst type of Shchin is what we call Bale Rasan. Mimai Havi. How does one get this disease? To get the shchin of Bali Ra'asan, Titania, the Brisa tells us, Hikiz dam v'shimesh, if a person did bloodletting, and then he was mishamish mitaso, without resting in between, having lo banim v'tikin, then he's going to have weak children. But Hikizu shnehem v'shimshu, if both the husband and wife, the man and the woman, were makiz dam, and then they were mishamish mita, having lo banim Bali Ra'asan, such a union will result in children who have this disease, have this type of shchin. Amar papalo amran el delota imidi. That's only if he hasn't eaten anything after being makes dam. Avol toy imidi less than bav. After giving blood, he's got to make sure he has the little orange juice and the cookies that they give. He has to make sure that he eats something before he's mishamish mitasa. Maisi mane. How do you know what are the symptoms of bale rasa? And how do you know if someone has this disease? So dilfan ene, his eyes tear uncontrollably. Vidaivi nechire, and mucus keeps flowing out of his nose, out of his nostrils. V'isi le'rira mipume, and he's drooling, he's salivating all the time. V'ramu didvi ilave, and there are flies going all over him. There are flies that are attacking him all the time. Umaya suse, how do you cure this? Amr Abaye, so Abaye says, okay, it's a complicated surgery, but this is how you do it. Meaning the problem with Bali Rasan is they have some sort of bug growing on their brain. So you need to remove the bug from the brain. And this is the brain surgery that you need to do. So the Gemara describes a brain surgery. Here's what you do. Pila veludna girda da agoza, vigirda da ashpa, vikolil malka, umaschola de dikla simka. You take these ingredients, these different types of herbs and grasses and shells of a nut and other types of ingredients, v'shaliklu ba'adei adadi, and you cook them, you overcook them together, you cook them in a pot together, umayile lebeis deshisha, then you bring the patient into a room made out of marble, you bring him into a room where there's no air from the outside, where he's not going to be subject to any negative atmospheric conditions, v'ilo ika beis deshisha, and if you have a hard time finding a house made out of marble, bring him into a house that's made with seven layers of bricks, and that way it will be very secure from any air blowing from the outside. And then you take of this item that you just made with all these ingredients that you just cooked, you pour 300 cups of it on his head. ad rafya arisa demoche, until his skull softens, the kara lemoche, then you cut through his skull to open up his head, umaisi arba tarfi da'asa, then you take four hadas leaves, umadli kolchad kara, and you lift up each leg, one leg at a time, of this little bug. It only has four legs. Pick up one at a time, umosiv chad, vishakal b'tzavsa v'kale, and you put each leg, one at a time, on a hadas leaf, and then you take the bug with a tweezer, and you take it out, v'kale, and you burn it. Meaning, you can't just pull it off with the tweezer in the first place, because if you try to do that, it's going to dig its legs into the brain, and we don't want it to dig its legs further. So you have to first remove one leg at a time, put it on a hada sleeve, and then tweeze the bug right out of there, and then you have to burn it. Why do you have to burn it? Why don't you just throw it out? Dilo hadarilave, because otherwise it's going to come back to him. So you have to burn it in order to keep it away from the patient. So that's how we do the brain surgery. And as we say, don't try this at home. This is not recommended. Rav Ram ben Aramim says that people who use the refuos of Chazal is dumb of Barosho. That it's we recommend using the refuos as far as we know how to use refuos. So some say it's because all these refuos are very good refuos, we just don't know how to use them. Others say no, Chazal were giving us the best refuos of their time, and the best refuos of their time aren't quite as good as the best refuos of our time. So Machruz Rav Yochanan, Hizor Mizvuvish Shel Balei Rasan, be very careful of the flies of the Balei Rasan. I mean, the flies that attack these Balei Rasan, be very careful. You want to stay far away from those. Rabbi Zeru Lava Yasa Bezika. Rabbi Zeru wouldn't even sit in the same wind. If a wind was blowing, he wouldn't sit in the vicinity of Balei Rasan. Rabbi Lazar Lo Ayel Ba'ale. Rabbi Lazar wouldn't go in the same room as Balei Rasan. Rabbi Amiv Rabbi Yasi Lava Achli Mibeida Umavua. They wouldn't eat from an egg that came from the same neighborhood as the Balei Rasan. Right? Now the Gemara tells us a couple of stories about the Malach HaMavis to conclude the Perek, and one of the stories is just introduced with how Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi dealt with Balei Rasan. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi michrichbu va'asik b'Torah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would sit with them together and learn Torah together with them, meaning he wouldn't stay far away from them at all. He would sit and learn Torah, like the stories of Sayyid Ravari Levine, you know, with the going and doing chesed with the lepers and with people who have all sorts of... He was confident that he would be okay. He went and he learned Torah with them. Amar ayelas ahavim v'yalas chen. Im chen mala if the Torah gives chayin to those who learn it, don't you think the Torah will protect those who learn it? So he thought that as long as he's learning Torah, it's going to be protected. He's going to be protected. He doesn't have to worry about any of this. Ki avashachiv, when Rabbi Shobin Levi died, Amrle the Malach HaMavis, the Beis Shalmaila told the Malach HaMavis, Zil Avadei Ruusei, go give Rabbi Shobin Levi whatever he wants. Azulus Chazilei. So the Malach HaMavis came and appeared to Rabbi Shobin Levi. Amrle Achvi Liduchtoi. He said, show me my place. Rabbi Shobin Levi says, I want to see my place in Gan Eden. Amrle Lechi. He said, okay, sure. Amrle Havli Sakina. Dilma Mvasis Libu Orcha. Shobin Levi says, wait a second. Give me your knife. I don't trust you. The Malach HaMavis. You know, I don't trust the Malach. So give me your knife. I'm afraid that you're going to attack me on the way. Yavanel. So he gave him his knife. Kimatal Hasam Dalia Kamachvile Shavar Nafalo Hugisa. So when they got to the place in Gan Eden, so Malach HaMavis boosts him up to look over the wall to see his place in Gan Eden. Rabbi Shimon Levi jumps over the wall to the other side. Aha, I'm here alive now. So Nakte Bakarna Deglime. The Malach HaMavis grabs the corner of his coat. Wait, get back. Amle Bishvuasa Delosin. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, I take a shvua that I'm not going back, that I'm staying right here. Amr Kutcha Bruchus. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to pass the Malach HaMavis grabbing the coat. Can I let go? Should I let him go? Should I take him back? He took a shvuah. I don't want him to violate a shvuah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "I itchla shvuasa nihader v'ilo lo nihader." Let's go over his life again and see if he ever had to be shoal on a shvuah. If he ever undid a shvuah in his entire life, then we'll undo this shvuah. But if he always kept his word and he never ever had to be shoal on a shvuah, well, then he gets to keep this shvuah as well and he gets to stay. Amrle havli sakinoi. So Malach HaMavis said, "Okay, fine. You get to stay, but give me my knife at least." Lo avakayav le. So no, I don't want to give you your knife back. Nafka baskala. So Baskal came out. Amrle havnehale demitvul briyasa. Give it back. He needs it to do his job. He needs it for everybody else. You got to give him his knife back. Makras Eliyahu kamei. Panu makom lebar levi. Panu makom lebar levi. So up in Shemayim, Eliyahu Navi was announcing his arrival. Everyone, make way for Rabbi Shimon Levi. Make way for Rabbi Shimon Levi. Azal ashkel Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Davi Yosef al tas eser tichtaki pisa. He saw Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was sitting there in Gan Eden on 13 golden chairs. Amalei atu bar levi. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, you're the famous Rabbi Shimon ben Levi that they keep on talking about up here. Amalei hein. He said, yeah, that's me. I'm bar levi. Nearest lakeshes biyamecha. Have you ever seen a rainbow in your life? Amar lehein, he says, yeah, I've seen a rainbow. Im kein iata bar Levi, then you must not be Rabbi Shua ben Levi, because he's supposed to be a big tzaddik who'd be megin al kaldoro, and there's no way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have wanted to destroy the world during a time, during his lifetime. Velohi, and the truth is it wasn't really true. Delavai midi el savar loch chazik tuven l'nafshai. The truth is he had never seen a rainbow. He just thought, why, I don't want to take credit for you know, it was out of humility that he said that he had never seen a rainbow. So it's again a very sad dafyomi coincidence, and the loss of a gadol who was known for his humility, even though he was a chad bedara, even though he was completely singular in his generation. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa shushvina hava. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa was a shushvin of the Malach HaMavis, meaning he was friendly with the Malach HaMavis. He was always Rashi says ov over rugulat zlo Malach HaMavis. I don't know what you have to do in order to earn that position. When he was about to die, so again in Beis Shammai they told the Malach HaMavis, go do whatever he wants. So he went and he appeared to him. So he said, leave me for 30 days, let me just review over all my learning before I die. Because Chazal say that fortunate is someone who comes to Gan Eden, comes to Shemayim, v'talmudo biyado. So I want to make sure that I have my learning really well. That's the story the Gemara says at the end of the first parak of Abba Basra, that one of the Amoraim was very sick, and he sort of went to the other side, and he was in and out, and his father said, what did you see when you were in the Olam HaEmes? And he said, I saw a few things. First of all, I saw Yonim Lamata V'Tachtonim Lamala. People that are very well respected here are not very well respected there, and people that are not very well respected here are very well respected there. But I also, they were announcing Ashrei Misha Balakan V'Talmud HaBiyado, that fortunate is one who comes there with Talmud HaBiyado. Marsha Nakamura says Talmud HaBiyado means a person should write down his learning, should take notes, and it helps, it aids in the memory. But that's literally Biyado. So Shavke. So he left him alone. The Malach HaMavis left him alone for 30 days so he could chazer over his learning. 30 days later, the Malach HaMavis showed up again. Amrlei, Achvi li duchtoi. He said, I'd like to see my place in Gan Eden. Amrlei lechi. He said, okay. Amrlei, havli sakinech. Dilma mvasi li borcha. And again, he tried the same trick. He said, give me your knife. I'm afraid that you might come after me on the way. Amrlei, kechavrich basel mevali. Malach HaMavis, I'm not falling for that twice. You're trying to do the same thing your friend did. Amrlei, I sefer Torah, v'chazi, miyika midi dixive, dloki amtia. So bring a sefer Torah. Let's see if there's anything in the Torah that I didn't fulfill properly. Amrlei, so the Malach HaMavis said, miyichrichas bebali Rasan v'yask b'Torah. You're no Rabbi Shua ben Levi. You're not. Did you ever sit with Bali Rasan and learn Torah together with them like Rabbi Shua ben Levi did? But nevertheless, ki nach nafshei ifsiklei amuta dinora ben didei li alma. Nevertheless, even though he was no Rabbi Shua ben Levi, but when he died, a pillar of fire divided him from the rest of the world as a symbol of the fact that he was a chad b'Torah, that he was someone who is completely unique and different and on a higher level than everyone else in his dar. Ugamiri de la mafsa. That an amud dinara only works for someone who's either completely unique or one of two in his generation that are like that. Karv legabe Rabbi Alexandri. So Rabbi Alexandri got close to the mita. Amar, they couldn't bury him. They couldn't do anything with him because there's amud dinara. There's this pillar of fire that was blocking them from having access. So Amar, he said, asay b'shvil kvod chachamim, that for the sake of the covenant of the chachamim, let the amud dinara disappear. Why is that the covenant of the chachamim? Because all the other chachamim died and they didn't have an amud dinara. Lo ashkach, didn't happen. Nothing happened. Asay b'shvil kvod avicha, do it for the covenant of your own father. Your own father didn't have an amud dinara. How does that look that you have one? Lo ashkach, again didn't happen. Asay b'shvil kvod atzmcha, do it for your own cover. How are we supposed to be osik b'kvurascha? How are we supposed to be osik in the kvura and take care of you if we can't have access to you? Istalik, and that's when the amud dinara disappeared. Amra ba'ila fuke miman delo kiem. Is a question whether we're goris afilu os achas to separate him from anyone who was not, the purpose of the amud dinara, the function of the amud the denara was to separate him from anyone who did not fulfill any part of Torah, any single part of Torah. He fulfilled everything. So Rav Adi Bar Masna said to Abaye, oh yeah, you mean like people like you who don't have a makah on your roof, so you don't fulfill the whole Torah? That's what it must be referring to. So the Chassam Sofer points out, well, of all things, Abaye didn't have a makah on his roof. And the Gemara says, Veloi mehava hava vahi shaita hu deshadi zika. Really, he did have a makah on his roof, but at that time the wind blew and had knocked down the makah on his roof. But why dafka a makah al gagecha? That's what Abaye is blamed for, not having a makah al gagecha. So Chassam Sofer says, that what do we know about Abaye? The Gemara says in Vamos Tav Samachdal that Abaye married Choma, the daughter of Isi Bar Rav Yitzchak, who was originally married to Rachman Mipumbedisa, and he died, and then married Rav Yitzchak Borei Darabba Ruchana, and he died, and then Abaye was the third husband. Remember, Rava, after Abaye died, Rava, there was a sakana for a moment that Rava might have married her also until Rava's wife chased him away, right? So Abaye was married to a woman who was a katlonis, who, at least according to, if you say, Shtepam Mavichazaka, was a katlonis. So that's so meaning you didn't put proper protection up. What's the purpose of makal gagacha? To make sure that everyone is safe. You weren't safe in your own life. You married someone who is unsafe to marry. That's what Chassam Sofer says. Why dafka we refer to a makah? Amrav chinin mnei in bali rasan bebavel. Why don't we find people who have this type of shchin, the bali rasan bebavel? Because the diet is better in bavel. They eat beets and they drink a certain type of beer that prevents this disease. Amrav yochum mnei ma in mitzoron bebavel. Why is there no mitzoras in bavel? There's the daf yomi coincidence. Mitzorayin. That tzoras parshas mitzoron. Neshaochin tardim v'shosin sheicha v'rochsin b'mei paras. Also because their dietary and hygiene habits make it that they're not going to easily get tzoras. Hadron lachamadir. Tomorrow will begin the eighth parak of Maseches Ksuvos.